Welcome to episode 8 of the 1987 WNBC radio documentary, The New York Knicks, Those Championship Seasons. I'm Bud Mishkin. This is a 9-episode series that I originally wrote and produced and created in 1987, voiced by my then WNBC radio colleague Gary Bridges, about one of the most beloved teams in American sports history, the New York Knicks of the late 60s and early 70s. Now we get to the second championship season, 1972-73. Some of the names and faces had changed from 69-70, but not the final result. The 1972-73 season, episode 8 of the New York Knicks, Those Championship Seasons.
The Knicks team that took the floor in the fall of 1972 was different from the one that had won the championship in 1970. Phil Jackson sat out the entire 69-70 season injured, but had grown to be a vital part of the Knicks bench. And the team had traded for Jerry Lucas, in the process sending the Warriors the popular Cassie Russell.
Red Holzman, of course, called me and told me about it, which was a class act. And I remember that year, too, because I was down in Miami playing in a golf tournament, and Red called me and told me that I had been traded. And then I talked to Al Adams. And I guess one of the things that really sticks out of my mind is that year that Red and Mrs. Holzman were in a car accident. And I went out, when I got back from Miami, I got some flowers, and I went out, and I wanted to talk to Red and just let him know that I understood that it was a business, and I had no ill feelings, and I really appreciated all the basketball that I had learned.
Coach Red Holzman.
We were very fortunate because we got Lucas, you know, and he was a great center. I knew he was a great center. People always thought you can only play forward, but he was a great passer, great rebounder. And he's a hell of a shooter. He'd make a living off the three-point shots today.
The Knicks played a tough schedule in 72-73 and finished the season second to Boston and hurting. But one game in particular was a signal of their amazing tenacity. Down by 18 to Kareem and the Milwaukee Bucks with 5.5 minutes to go, the Knicks' defense turned up the heat, and the Bucks would not score again.
The Bucks leading 86-73. The inbounds to Frazier from the corner of the jump. Good. 86-75, it's down to 11. Rebound, Jabbar, no good. Rebound to Busher. New York ball. Ahead it goes to Bradley, a 3-on-2 to Monroe. Baseline jump, yes. 86-77, it's down to 9. Frazier steals from Robertson. Behind the back, stolen by Robertson, re-stolen by Bradley to the foul line. Outside Reed, and suddenly it's become a ball game. To the Busher left side of the circle. On the right side, Frazier. Frazier cuts left side of the circle. Frazier backs in to Monroe. He moves to the corner. He stops. Fade away. Yes! 86-78. With 3:10 remaining in the game, things have turned. Allen out of the backcourt. Across the midcourt line. Bothered by Monroe. At center court, hands to Robertson. Along the left sideline. Pulls up the dribble. Gets to Terry. Down low, Jabbar. Back to the basket against Reed. The crowd going wild. Jabbar turns. Forced hook. Short. Rebound to Busher. New York ball. Out of the backcourt. Along the right sideline. From the right-hand corner. He drives. Throws outside to Monroe. Monroe from the baseline. Jumps. No good. Rebound to Busher. No good. He missed the big one. However, it's taken by Frazier. Spun around by Terry. And a jump ball is called. 2:37 remaining. A tremendous turnaround. Bradley on the drive, back to Frazier, fakes the jump, hands to Monroe. Monroe reeling right, gives to DeBuscher, long jump. Yes! 25-footer by DeBuscher, 86-81. It is down to 5, and the Bucks want to talk it over. Unbelievable comeback. Dandridge will throw it in. 2:05 remaining of the game. The inbounds to Allen along the right sideline. Played tight by Monroe. Allen double team. Throws to the corner to Dandridge. Here's the jump. No good. Rebound is back cut from the Busher. Pick by Bradley. Fast break. Gives to Monroe on the right. He pulls up. Here's the jump. Yes! 86-83. It's down to 3. The inbounds to Dandridge. Gives to Allen. Almost stolen by Monroe. Allen along the left sideline of the forecourt to the left side of the circle. Monroe gets back down court to the right corner. Dandridge gives to Robertson along the sideline. Down low, Jabbar turns, jumps, misses. Rebound, Reed gives to the Busher on a 2-yard ball. Ahead, Frazier, fast break, 2-on-1. Frazier down the lane, scoops, misses, and an off. Oh, a foul caught on the box. First, as you can hear, good. 86-84. You will know by the crowd reaction. It is down to 1. 86-85, and a timeout is called. So Allen will go to the line. He is a very good foul shooter, 91%. The first uncle. He missed a clutch free throw. Now the second. It is up. No good. Rebound Reed. Gets to Frazier. New York ball. Knicks down by one. 86-85. Frazier, right side of the circle. Cuts to the foul line. Shakes. Hands to Monroe. Side jump. Yes. The Knicks lead by one. 87-86. Here's Robinson to the forecourt. 30 seconds to go. Oscar down low to Jabbar. Backs it on Reed. Hooks. No good. Rebound to Buescher. Buescher, one bounces to Monroe in the corner. Ahead to Bradley with 20 seconds. 18 on the 24. Bradley across the midcourt line. Bradley along the left sideline. Gives to Frazier. On the right, Monroe with 13 seconds. The Bucks are over the limit. They have to be careful. In the corner, Bradley. They better foul shortly. Bradley drives to the foul line and holds. Outside, Monroe with 5 seconds. Two on the 24. To Bradley at center court. And the 24-second buzzer has gone off. The Knicks did not realize that the clock was not concurrent with the game situation. 2 seconds remaining in the ball game, and the ball goes back to Milwaukee. The Knicks lead by one, 87-86. Phil Jackson reports in for New York. They want the windmill effect on the inbounds. Jackson with the hands up. The ball is handed to Allen. He fires for the basket to Jabbar. He turns. It's short. And the Knicks have stolen the ball game.
Dave DeBuscher.
We had this Cinderella year going, but when that happened, you almost felt invincible because it was, I mean, to play a team with Jabbar and Oscar and everybody on the team and to hold them from not scoring and to score the last 17 or 18 points to win the game, that was the time I really felt, you know, it was an eerie feeling. Really, you just say everything's going your way.
Marv Albert.
That was a game that epitomized the greatness of the Knicks. And it was nice that that game took place for the second championship team because I thought the first championship team had many more special moments because it was the first after many years of nothing happening for the Knicks franchise. But that game really stamped the Knicks' second title team.
The Knicks beat the Bullets in the opening round of the 73 playoffs and met the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Boston guard JoJo White.
Those Sundays that we played them, I think both clubs were excited, you know, just to be playing against one another because the ball was so intense and both teams were outstanding. And it got down to you wanted to win, but you know that if you lost, it was to a team as great or greater than you.
Dave DeBuscher.
I like going to Boston as much as anywhere because half the crowd in Boston was rooting for New York because they were all transplanted New Yorkers. And the fans were, I mean, it was just screaming and yelling and the fights were going on in the stands and, you know, you were going in. I mean, I didn't even sleep. You play Saturday night here, I'd be going home and I'd be laying awake all night. My wife said, get some sleep, you know, forget it. I couldn't do it. Then head up to Boston, and, you know, I couldn't wait for the game to start.
Walt Frazier.
Whenever you go to Boston, they always have these psych games. The locker room is always too hot or it's too cold, one or the other. So, and then you've got to wait 15 to 20 minutes for someone to open the locker room so the guys are just standing around, you know, and I'm sure all of this is planned. So this particular time, they put us in a locker room we'd never been in before. Like, the tall guys had to duck to get in there, man. And it was so small that we were all crowded in together. And I think that's what really psyched us up. We got mad, and then we had to wait for towels. They didn't have any towels in there. They didn't have anything. So during this time, I think it really brought the players together that they were doing this.
A little crazy things Auerbach used to, you know, if you beat them last time and you were in that locker room, he'd change it to the next locker room. And then he'd make sure that the showers didn't work or the heat wasn't turned on, anything. You know, anything to aggravate you.
The Knicks led the series 2-1. Game 4 was Easter Sunday afternoon at the Garden. Boston's JoJo White.
That particular game, I'll never forget. I was up pretty late. We flew into New York and got in there that evening. And I had left the hospital from Boston because my wife was expecting our first child. And she went into the hospital just as we were leaving to come to New York. So I was pretty worried all that evening. And I finally got the call at 1 in the morning that I had a boy. And so I was just up for the game and up for that. And I think that game was on Easter Sunday. And I was determined to do all that I could do to win that game simply for the birth of my son.
Down by 16 in the fourth quarter, the Knicks rallied to force an overtime. The Celtics played without the services of John Havlicek.
Frazier backs on White, fakes the shot, turns for the jump. No good. Rebound back tap to Frazier. He drives, lays it up, in. 101-99 the score. 25 seconds remaining. 10 on the 24. White pulls up, does not have the shot. Looking, gives to Silas. Back to White with three. Forced jump from 25. No good. Rebound. Frazier out of the backcourt on a fast break. Leads Jackson. Jackson on the drive. He gets it away. It's no good, but he's fouled. First by Jackson is good. 101-100. Now the second. Up with the left hand, and it is good. And we're tied at 101. Celtics look to inbound. Goes to Cowens. 9 seconds remaining. To White. White to the midcourt line with 5 seconds. White across the line. Racing with Frazier. He's to the corner with two. He pops short at the buzzer.
The game moved to a second overtime.
White across the midcourt line. White to the head of the foul circle. White has the ball stolen by Jackson. Racing ahead of the field. No one near him. He drives and lays it in. Phil Jackson took it out of the hands of JoJo White. The Knicks by 4, 105-101. Now the Celtics to the forecourt. Westport across the midcourt line. Driving past Jackson. A running hook. No good. Rebound. Jackson protects it. Looks. Looking for help. Now puts it on the floor. Gives to Frazier. Phil Jackson. These two ball clubs now look like they're moving in slow motion. White across the midcourt line against Frazier. Has no acceleration left. White to the right sideline. Holds up the dribble. Looks for Cowens. Snaps it down low. Cowens drives. Shot blocked by Ginelli. The ball knocked out of his hands, but a foul. And Cowens has fouled out. Frazier walks it across. Sends to DeBuscher on the left sideline. DeBuscher to the head of the foul circle. Cuts right. Driving hook. Yes! 111-106 the score. With a minute 15 remaining. West ball inbounds. Gives to White. White out of the backcourt. Met at the midcourt line by Frazier. Along the left sideline. Spinning with a driving one-hander. Knocked away by Ginelli. Taken by White. One hands. No good. Rebound. DeBuscher. DeBuscher dribbles out of the back. A hit for Frazier. Frazier on the break to Jackson. He drives. Lays it in. 113-106 the score with a minute remaining. Frazier spins away from Westfall. Cuts it on the sideline and holds. Leaves for DeBuscher in the corner. To Ginelli on the run. Drives and hits. 115-108. Ginelli sneaking past Pinkel. 30 seconds remaining. Here's Westfall on the forecourt. A spinning jumper. Hits the rim, bounce away. Rebound Jackson. The outlet to DeBuscher with 24 seconds ahead. Now Bibby across the midcourt line to the head of the foul circle. Bibby cuts back the other way. Gives to Frazier on the right with 15 seconds remaining. Frazier holds it high over the head. Is pushed by White, and White has fouled out of the ball game.
Walt Frazier.
When I think of that game, I feel tired. Because I think I played like 50-some minutes in that game. It's very physical. Celtics were always physical as well as a running team, so it took a lot out of you. And that game, I guess, was the turning point, winning that game in overtime.
Dave Cowens says the Celtics were robbed.
We got screwed bad, the Celtics did, on a bad call where they said that Nelson moved his foot or some damn thing, and, you know, they got the ball back, and they made this furious comeback on us to tie the game up, and there were a few pretty shaky calls around and at the end of it, so we were pretty dissatisfied with that, especially since we had played a really good game.
The Knicks lost Game 5 at Boston, but came home ready to clinch at the Garden. Dave DeBuscher.
We came back to play the sixth game here, and we were convinced we were going to whip these guys. It was on a Saturday night in New York. And what happens is that we get blown out of the arena. These guys came out, and they ran us right into the ground. And I remember after the game, the then head of Madison Square Garden, God rest his soul, came in and said, you guys had it. You let it get away. You should have beat them tonight because you don't have a chance tomorrow. We're playing a Sunday afternoon in Boston. I remember looking at Frazier and Willis and everybody and said, we don't have a chance? Well, you got to be kidding me. We went up there and we really clocked them. I mean, we clocked them a good one up there. in the seventh game in Boston.
Having put away the Celtics in seven, they faced the Lakers again for the championship.
I remember talking with Bradley. He and I were saying, geez, we get into the playoffs. I mean, I don't even care if we have the home court advantage. It doesn't make any difference. I said, we're going to win it. I mean, because we knew we were better. It was just a matter of everybody playing at the same time. And I think, like, Bill and I were probably the only two players that year that played most of the games. Because Willis was hurt, Monroe was hurt, Fraser was hurt.
The Knicks went up 2-1, but had to fight for their lives in Game 4.
The Knicks, who once led by 21, now lead by 4. Here's West up high against Monroe, spinning right. The jumper is good. 94-92 the score. And the Knicks come out of the backcourt with 1:10 remaining. It's been a complete breakdown these final 2 minutes. Monroe, guarded by Erickson, snaps it to Memminger at center court. Memminger ahead of the foul circle. Memminger cutting left, met by West. Memminger holds, gives to Reed. Willis turns, does not have the shot to Monroe. Fumbles, recovered by Bradley, 4 on the 24. To DeBuscher, back to Bradley in the corner. Jumper, rims the basket. Rebound, batted around, taken by DeBuscher, lays it up. Yes, and a foul! And DeBuscher wrestled the ball away from Wilt Chamberlain. Hit on the fadeaway and was fouled with 48 seconds remaining in the ballgame. The Knicks now lead it 96-92. Foul committed by Chamberlain. That may well be the play of the series.
With the Knicks now up 3-1, Game 5 back in L.A.
Lakers hanging in, 95-89 the score. The inbounds to Monroe, played very tight by Goodrich. Monroe across the midcourt line, double team is passed, stolen by Chamberlain. Chamberlain ahead now to Erickson, leads McMillan on the drive, lays it up and in. 95-91 the score. The Laker press bothering the Knicks with 1 minute remaining. Jackson fires to Bradley. Cross the midcourt line. Head of the foul circle. Holds. Looks for help. Throws back the other way to Monroe. The Knicks by 4. 55 seconds remaining. Monroe spinning away from Erickson. He's fouled. Reed with 6 on the 24 to Monroe in the corner. He drives. Lays it up. It's knocked away. They say goaltending on Chamberlain. So the basket counts, credited to Monroe, and the Knicks now lead 98-91. 20 seconds remaining. Goodrich racing a one bounce for West on the drive. Running hook, no good. Rebound batted around, taken by Jackson. Spinning at the foul line, the ball knocked away. He is fouled in the backcourt. And the Knicks bench, sensing the victory, going a little bit berserk. The Knicks now lead it 100-91. Lakers to the forecourt. A pass battled away by Frazier. Frazier to the midcourt line with 8 seconds. Frazier to the left side of the circle. Down the lane. Hands to Monroe. The whirling move, no good. Rebound tipped in by Jackson. Now the Lakers fire down court. Here's Chamberlain taking it. He drives and stuffs with 1 second to go. The Knicks will inbound. Bradley is told to inbound the basketball. He does to Reed. Willis hooked by Bradley, and that's the story. The New York Knicks have defeated the Los Angeles Lakers by the score of 102-93. The New York Knicks winning their second championship of all time, their second within 4 years, both coming at the expense of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Walt Frazier.
Nobody really celebrated when we beat them. That series is very laid back. You know, we were very professional at that point. The guys had been in many championship games, so only the younger players showed a lot of emotion. The old players were just like, you know, it was our job, and we knew we could do it.
Willis Reed.
We had two guys on that team, who Lucas and Earl, who, as competitors, had been great athletes, had never played on a championship team. It was a chance for them to play on their first championship team, and it was a chance for us, guys who played on the 70 championship team, to win the second one, which, you know, the people, to win one, a lot of people never do, is to win two, as you get yourself to be in a very unique class. And I said, people asked me about how you felt about the second championship. I said, well, obviously this first one was the most exciting, and the second one's the most gratifying because you were able to come back and do it again.
John Andres.
For me, it was my first year of broadcasting, and to be involved in an NBA championship series with the two top markets in the country going at each other was very exciting, all those games were. Although I'll tell you what I remember clearly, which was somewhat of a downer, and that is the Knicks winning the fifth game of the series and the championship in L.A. when you would feel such elation and emotion normally, but you're talking about the final buzzer sounds, and there are 12 guys, a couple of coaches, and a trainer jumping up and down, and the objective announcers are sitting there reporting, and there was no excitement at all in the L.A. Forum. That was really strange. You know, here's a championship, and everybody's quiet. Really weird. I was kept hoping it took place in New York.
Marv Albert.
Of course, in L.A., you have a crowd that heads to the freeway in the third quarter, and they, even in championship series, they're just intent on hitting the road. It was such a quiet crowd. It was so anticlimactic when they won the second championship, and they won it in five games, and it didn't have the same meaning. I remember it was like a mini celebration in the Knick locker room. And, of course, at that time, you didn't have as much television going, so you didn't have all the mini cams in the locker room. It was strictly radio, and weren't that many people around. If that were the case now, you'd have 15 different live television remotes from the locker room, from outside the hotel where they'd stay. It would be a completely different story. So it wasn't the same. They were very happy, but it could have been an AAU championship that was being clinched. That was my feeling. Of course, if it were done at the Garden, it would have been a party-type celebration, but it was very subdued.
How to compare the two championships? Bill Bradley.
I have on my office wall here in Washington two photographs. Each of the photographs are the moment of the championship. In 1970 in the Garden and 1973 when I jumped into Willis Reed's arms in the Forum in Los Angeles. Those were different feelings. The first championship was a feeling that you'd done it, that the team had accomplished the objective, that you were at the top of the mountain, that you had managed to win the championship. And that was, of course, in the very dramatic setting of the fifth and seventh games. In 73, it was in some real sense more pleasurable than in 1970. It was more pleasurable because it was a kind of confirmation of the group that we were still there, that we were still the best. And it was a slightly different cast of characters, or a slightly different group of team members, but it was in a sense more pleasurable than the first one. The first one had a little more pressure than the second one.
After the 1973 championship, the team of individuals began to go its separate ways. The end of an era, next.
In New York and beyond, the late 60s and early 70s was a beautiful time to be a Knicks fan. But it didn't last. The end of an era, next time on the ninth and final episode of the New York Knicks, those championship seasons. Thanks for listening. I'm Bud Mishkin.